Our reading today is going to be in Luke chapter 24. We're going to read from verse 13 to verse 32. If you're following in the Pew Bibles, you'll find it on page 1061. Page 1061 in the Pew Bibles. So it is the story of the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. That's one of the passages that are traditionally read on the Sunday after Easter. And a story that you might be familiar with. This is all happening on the same day as the day of resurrection, just later in that day. So we pick it up, Luke chapter 24, and we pick it up at verse 13, and this is what Luke writes. He says, "Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened, and as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked, 'What are you discussing together as you walk along?' They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, 'Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?' 'What things?' he asked. 'About Jesus of Nazareth,' they replied. 'He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. He said to them, 'How foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not Christ have to suffer these things and then enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he was going further. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?'" And we'll end our reading there. Have you ever lost something, and then when you've looked for it, you've discovered that it was right there in front of you the whole time? Keys, phone, glasses. We're all familiar with it, that classic comedy moment of panic when you search everywhere for something and then discover that it was there all along, sitting right under your nose. When I was growing up in South Africa, there was a children's program we used to watch, and there was one character on that program called Benny Bookworm, Benny the Bookworm. And every episode, Benny would come on to tell a story. It was an Afrikaans children's program, and he'd come on, and they'd call him, and he'd come out of the ground. And the same thing happened every time Benny came up to tell a story. He'd look around, and he'd go, "Waar is my bril? Where are my glasses?" And of course, the funny thing for us kids was they were always sitting right there on top of his head, and then he'd discover that his glasses are there. For kids, the funniest thing ever. But I'm sure we've all had those moments where the seemingly obvious has completely escaped our notice. And that's exactly what happens in this passage today. Two disciples who had walked with Jesus for miles, and they didn't recognize him, even though he was right there with them. Their "Waar is my bril" moment wasn't about trying to find glasses, but noticing Jesus right there in front of them, right in front of their eyes. And it seems really strange when we read it. We look at this and we go, how on earth did they not recognize him? How did they not know this was Jesus? They had followed him for years. They'd probably seen miracles. They'd had meals with him. And yet they weren't able to understand that this person walking with them was that same Jesus. How did they not recognize him after his resurrection? And there are a few possible explanations that are put forward for why this didn't happen. Some commentators suggest that it was a miraculous intervention, that Jesus didn't allow them to recognize him. It might have been that whole out of context thing, you know, where they thought Jesus was dead. The last person they expected to be walking alongside them on that road was Jesus, so they didn't expect him to be there. They didn't recognize him. There's some suggestion that maybe the resurrected Jesus looked different to the Jesus that had walked with them. Remember how even Mary Magdalene didn't recognize Jesus when she saw him at the tomb. She thought he was a gardener. But I think there's something else going on here as well. Something that makes sense in light of what the two disciples say to Jesus later, when they say, "We had hoped he was the one who was going to redeem Israel." Their inability to recognize Jesus wasn't just about physical sight, but it was also about a deeper spiritual blindness to who Jesus really was. Their understanding was based on who they hoped Jesus would be and what he had come to do. They didn't recognize the risen Savior because they had been looking for a military Messiah, somebody who would overthrow the Romans and redeem Israel, as they said, restore Israel's glory, not a Savior who had come to bring salvation through his death and resurrection. And there's something else that's happening in this passage that maybe adds to that, something that we miss because, well, we're not first century Jews, so we're not picking something up that Luke has included there that adds to this idea that of what Luke is explaining about the misunderstanding of who Jesus really is or who the Messiah really is. Because to the Jews, Emmaus wasn't just another village. To the Jews, Emmaus was the site of a great military victory by the Maccabees, a group of Jewish freedom fighters who were led by a guy called Judas Maccabee. And about 200 years earlier, the Maccabees had defeated an army of the Seleucid Empire, another foreign power who had been occupying Israel at the time. So this battle was a powerful symbol to these people about resistance and about hope. And so Luke is reminding these people that, well, there had already been a great military leader. There had already been somebody who had come and overthrown a foreign oppressor and set Israel free. But yeah, they were 200 years later under another foreign oppressor, living under foreign rule again. So when the disciples were walking on the road to Emmaus, it was symbolically echoing those old hopes of political freedom and military power, but also reminding us that Jesus wasn't that Messiah. And that's why they missed it. That's why they couldn't make sense of what had happened the last few days. And not making sense of what had happened those last few days had left them disappointed and disillusioned, confused, grieving not just the loss of their teacher, not just the death of Jesus, but the loss of their hopes and dreams, of the future that they hoped would lay ahead of them. See, spiritual blindness doesn't only come about because people are caught up in sin, but sometimes the circumstances of life can so overwhelm us that we struggle to see Jesus in the midst of everything that is going on in our lives. Yet we have these two followers of Jesus who are so overwhelmed by these feelings of loss and disappointment and disillusionment that they cannot see Jesus alongside them. They know that someone's there. They know that someone is walking this journey with them. They just don't recognize it as Jesus because Jesus isn't being the Jesus that they wanted him to be. And then we've all been there before, haven't we? Stuck in a situation. I know that I've been there. Stuck in a situation that seems so overwhelming that everything just seems to be closing in on you. Everything seems too much and we're crying out to God for help. We're asking him to come and be with us. And we're struggling with things, so we're pushing people away because we don't want them about without realizing or maybe just forgetting in that moment because things are so overwhelming that God works through people. He works through those very people that we're pushing away and we just don't see him there with us. But Jesus promises, I'm with you always. I'm with you always. Well, what does always look like? It looks like the 23rd Psalm. It looks like green pastures and still waters, but it also looks like the valley of the shadow of death and a table in the presence of our enemies. We read this passage and we wonder why. How did they not see Jesus there with them? How did they not notice that it was Jesus with them? But we have to ask ourselves the same question. When things seem overwhelming for us, when things are hard for us, how do we not see Jesus with us? How do we not see God there with us? Because he's promised to be with us always. We shake our heads at these two disciples at their inability to notice Jesus, but Jesus doesn't. We scoff at how ridiculous this sounds, that they didn't recognize that it was Jesus, but Jesus doesn't. He doesn't criticize them for not recognizing him. He doesn't shame them. He doesn't walk away from them offended. No, he walks with them and he listens to them. And then gently he begins to speak to them. And what does he say to them? Well, he takes them through the scriptures. Beginning with Moses and all the prophets, Luke tells us, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. That doesn't mean he picked out random verses out of context just to prove a point, but rather Jesus takes them through the story of God's plan and how everything points to him and what happened over the last few days and why it needed to happen the way that it did. These disciples knew the scriptures. They were Jews. They'd been brought up knowing the scriptures. They had been taught the stories of Israel, of Abraham, of David, of Moses, of the prophets. But their understanding of scripture had been influenced by their context, by what had been happening around them and what they had been grown up experiencing. It had been influenced by their longing for political freedom, their longing for Israel to be restored. But now Jesus begins to explain to them in a different way, with a different understanding. This is the author of the story, helping them see exactly what the story has always been about. This is the Word who was with God in the beginning, now opening up the Word of God to them. And that's what we're like sometimes too. Sometimes the way we see Jesus or the way we don't see Jesus is influenced by our own expectations and our own understanding based on the world that we've grown up in. We've got a board game at home that we've had since the girls were little. It's a Disney board game, and one of the tasks in the game is called Party Glasses. And what you do in the Party Glasses challenge is you put on these pair of glasses that have got red lenses, and then you pick up a card that's got a drawing of a Disney character on it. And some of the lines are drawn in black, but some of the lines are drawn in red. So when you've got these red-tinted glasses on, all you can see are the black lines. You can't see the red lines. And from that, you've got to try and work out and guess which is the Disney character that you're looking at. And most of us can approach the Bible in this way. We come with different lenses that have been influenced by the context of our own lives. And that means that we don't always see everything that's there. We see what the lenses allow us to see. And sometimes the lenses we wear blind us to what the Bible is saying. We see the Jesus that we want to see or that our context allows us to see rather than who Jesus really is. Sometimes we even shape Jesus in our own image without realizing it. We make him fit our politics or our preferences or our prejudices, which means that there can be times that we struggle to recognize him. Because the Jesus that we're seeing doesn't look like the Jesus that we've created in our minds. But when we open up the scriptures and we study them, when we walk through them with Jesus, then things become clearer. And our understanding of who Jesus is grows. And then we start to recognize him in the places that we didn't notice him before, even though he had always been there. But for these two disciples on the road, their real moment of clarity that it was Jesus with them didn't come on the road. It didn't come as Jesus was opening up the scriptures to them. It came in an ordinary moment. It came when Jesus simply broke bread at the table with them. And sometimes we can be so focused on looking for Jesus in big dramatic ways that we miss him in the everyday simple things. Jesus hidden in plain sight. It's that story of Elijah on the mountainside when God says, go out and stand on the mountainside and I'm going to pass by you. And we have these big dramatic things that happen. Thunder, lightning, fire, earthquakes. But that's not where God is. God comes in a gentle whisper. God shows up in the less dramatic, the less obvious moments. And we're able to see him then in places that we don't expect to see him. Ordinary moments that become sacred moments because Jesus is there in the midst of them. Something as ordinary as breaking bread at a meal had become something new for them because of their experience of Jesus. Not only at the Last Supper, the two disciples might have been there. We don't know for certain how many were at the Last Supper. We know the 12 made that final team photo that Da Vinci put together for us. But we know that Jesus also broke bread at other times. He broke bread before he fed the 5,000, broke it and blessed it. And he might have done it at other meals as well that he shared with his followers. So the breaking of bread and blessing it was something that they had come to associate with Jesus. And it was when he did that simple thing in front of them that they suddenly realized that Jesus had been with them all along. An ordinary moment that became a sacred moment. And that's something worth remembering for us too, to keep our eyes open for the ordinary things that we associate with Jesus. Moments where Jesus is saying, I'm with you always. And that includes this moment. And once they recognized him, once they realized that even as they had walked with him, their hearts had been burning within them, that something deep within them knew that it was Jesus all along with them. And sometimes it's only in hindsight that we realize that God has been with us all along. But deep down, we know that he is there because the Holy Spirit stirs something within us, an assurance that Jesus is with us. A reminder that while Jesus no longer physically walks with us, he is still here with us by his Spirit. And in those small, ordinary moments, those sacred moments, we recognize and we remember and we're assured, but he is with me. And because Jesus no longer walks among us in the same physical way that he did on the road to Emmaus, that he did before his ascension, we as the church have become his body here on earth. We are called to be his presence in the world, to reflect his love, his compassion, his grace. And sometimes the presence of Jesus that we bring also goes unnoticed. Not because he is not there within us and through us, or that we're doing anything wrong, but because, well, as we've seen, he's easily missed in everyday moments, even missed in each other. And we've also seen how his presence doesn't need to be revealed in big dramatic ways. It doesn't need to be obvious to people that there is Jesus at work through that person. It doesn't always come with loud declarations and grand gestures. What we've seen in the story is that sometimes the best way to be the presence of Jesus is to go about things unnoticed. Everyday acts of love and kindness that reflect who Jesus is. That's important because, again, as we've seen in the story, people can have a distorted view of who Jesus is that doesn't always project him in a positive light. We can be the presence of Jesus when we show compassion to someone who is struggling or who is suffering. When we treat someone with grace, when others or maybe even ourselves think that they don't deserve to be treated that way. Or when we offer a listening ear to somebody who feels that nobody really notices them. We become the unnoticed presence of Jesus in small moments like offering someone a meal or giving them our time. And sometimes we might not even be aware of the impact that we have. It could be that what might seem like an ordinary moment to us is a sacred moment to them because somewhere in the past they've connected Jesus with that. We might simply be planting a seed that we never see grow. Like the disciples on the road to Emmaus, people might not even recognize Jesus in us when we're there. But that doesn't mean that it won't dawn on them later. But actually, Jesus was with me in that time. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't bother. Jesus wasn't recognized on the road, and we don't need to be recognized or praised for the work that we're doing. Often the work of God goes unnoticed, but that doesn't stop him from working. He wants to work in people's lives, and he wants to do it through us. What matters is that we continue to be faithful in showing his love, knowing that even in the unnoticed moments, his presence is real and his work is being done. In those moments when Jesus is hidden in plain sight, but it doesn't mean that people will not come to recognize his presence through our faithfulness, even if they don't see it immediately. We might not always see the immediate impact of our actions, because just like the disciples didn't immediately recognize Jesus walking on the road alongside him, people might not instantly recognize Jesus working in us. But what matters most is that we continue to be faithful, that we continue to show his love, even if it goes unnoticed. Jesus is hidden in plain sight, and as his body here on earth, we have the privilege of being his presence in the world today. People of warmed hearts and people who warm hearts. Whether noticed or not, we are called to reflect his love, to be salt and light in this world, and in the lives of those around us. Shall we pray? God, we thank you for your promise to be with us always. And sometimes we don't notice it. Sometimes we're so caught up in what is happening in our lives that we fail to recognize that there is a God who is a part of our lives. A God who doesn't stay distant but draws close, especially when we need him to draw close. So God, our prayer is that you will open up our eyes to see you in our lives, to see you in the ordinary moments when you remind us that I'm with you. Even here, I'm with you now. And we thank you, God, that you are with us now. And as you send us out into the world, God, we are called to be people who go and make disciples. We are called to go and be your presence in the world, to be the dwelling place of God. So when people encounter us, they encounter you. And sometimes, God, we can feel demoralized or disillusioned when that's not recognized or acknowledged. But God, we see here that even though they didn't recognize you, you continued walking with them. You didn't leave them in that place, but rather walked with them. God, let us never give up on people, because you don't. You didn't give up on us. And so, Holy Spirit, fill us anew, empower us, and encourage us to go and be the people that you have called us to be light, to be salt, to be witnesses to the kingdom. I ask us in Jesus' name. Amen.